Harry turned back to Dumbledore.
"Let me out," he said.
He was shaking from head to foot.
"No,"
said Dumbledore simply. For a few seconds they stared at each other.
"Let me out,"
Harry said again.
"No,"
Dumbledore repeated.
If you keep me in here, if you don't let me... By all means continue destroying my possessions,
said Dumbledore serenely.
I dare say I have too many.
He walked around his desk and sat down behind it, watching Harry.
Let me out,
Harry said yet again, in a voice that was cold and almost as calm as
Dumbledore's. Not until I have had my say,
said Dumbledore.
Do you think I give a... I don't care what you've got to say,
Harry roared.
I don't want to hear anything you've got to say. You will,
said Dumbledore sadly,
because you are not nearly as angry with me as you ought to be. If you are to attack me, as I know you are close to doing, I would like to have thoroughly earned it.
What are you talking?
It is my fault that Sirius died,
said Dumbledore clearly.
Oh, I should say almost entirely my fault. I will not be so arrogant as to claim responsibility for the whole. Sirius was a brave, clever, and energetic man, and such men are not usually content to sit at home in hiding while they believe others to be in danger. Nevertheless, you should never have believed for an instant that there was any necessity for you to go to the Department of Mysteries tonight. If I had been open with you, Harry, as I should have been, you would have known a long time ago that Voldemort might try and lure you to the Department of Mysteries, and you would never have been tricked into going there tonight. And Sirius would not have had to come after you. That blame lies with me, and with me alone.
Harry was still standing with his hand on the doorknob, but he was unaware of it. He was gazing at Dumbledore, hardly breathing, listening yet barely understanding what he was hearing.
Please sit down,
said Dumbledore. It was not an order, it was a request. Harry hesitated, then walked slowly across the room, now littered with silver cogs and fragments of wood, and took the seat facing Dumbledore's desk.
Am I to understand,
said Phineas Nigellus, slowly from Harry's left,
that my great-great-grandson, the last of the Blacks, is dead? Yes, Phineas,
said Dumbledore.
I don't believe it,
said Phineas brusquely. Harry turned his head in time to see Phineas marching out of his portrait and knew that he had gone to visit his other painting in Grimald Place. He would walk, perhaps, from portrait to portrait, calling for Sirius through the house.
Harry, I owe you an explanation,
said Dumbledore.
An explanation of an old man's mistakes, for I see now that what I have done and not done with regard to you bears all the hallmarks of the failings of age. Youth cannot know how age thinks and feels, but old men are guilty if they forget what it was to be young. And I seem to have forgotten lately.